78th session of the United Nations General Assembly. Later on, we plan to distribute the draft resolution as a document of the Conference on Disarmament. The draft resolution maintains the previous draft, and we hope it will be supported by states. We hope that the growing threats and the need to react to these threats will allow us to adopt this resolution by consensus during the General Assembly. Madam President, distinguished colleagues, we express the hope that the Conference on Disarmament will pay due attention to Agenda 5 of its agenda item 5. To conclude, we underscore that Belarus is prepared for constructive cooperation with all member states of the conference. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you for your statement, Ambassador. Now I would like to give the floor to Pakistan. Ambassador, you have the floor.
Madam President, thank you for convening this plenary meeting. This item has been on CD's agenda since its first session in 1979. The conversations on this subject date even further back to 1960s and 70s. This included UNGA discussions on military applications of laser technology and radiological warfare, among others. It was also established that as technology evolved, further issues would have to be examined under this item. The 1978 SSOD1 final document also recognized this aspect in extensive detail, and I quote, "In order to help prevent a qualitative arms race so that scientific and technological achievements may ultimately be used solely for peaceful purposes, effective measures should be taken to avoid the danger and prevent the emergence of new types of weapons of mass destruction based on new scientific principles and achievements. Efforts should be appropriately pursued, aiming at the prohibition of such new types and new systems of weapons of mass destruction. Specific agreements could be concluded on particular types of new weapons of mass destruction which may be identified. This question should be kept under continuing review," unquote. The SSOD1 also underscored that a convention should be concluded prohibiting the development, production, stockpiling, and use of radiological weapons. During the 1980s, a subsidiary body on radiological weapons considered the matter, but no consensus emerged. From 1993 to 2018, no subsidiary body was re-established on this agenda item. Madam President, despite the inertia in our discussions under this agenda item, the world has still moved on. The link between technology, innovation, and weapon systems was further reinforced as means and methods of warfare evolved and humanity discovered new ways of killing. Even as we grapple with questions surrounding new domains of war fighting, such as cyber, outer space, and electromagnetic spectrum, added layers of complexity arise due to the integration of technology with traditional domains. We cannot afford to remain stuck in old binaries. The unprecedented and breakneck speed of developments and emergence of new technologies has highlighted the urgency of applying an arms control lens. Even as the age of new weapon technologies has inevitably arrived, it is essential to develop associated norms, laws, and rules to regulate development, deployment, and use of these technologies. We can only risk ignoring the normative dimension of such systems to our own peril. In this context, we believe that this agenda item has assumed greater significance and cannot be ignored any further. Madam President, while we rightly focus on the impact of weapons of mass destruction on international security, it is important to recognize that the serious threat to peace, security, and stability at the regional and global level by new technology weapons are comparable to any category of WMDs. This aspect has been well established as evidenced in the security policies and doctrines of states, some drawing explicit links of new weapons with nuclear weapons, while others do so implicitly. For example, take lethal autonomous weapon systems, on which a group of governmental experts under the framework of CCW concluded its work only last week. A large number of states have been highlighting the legal, ethical, and humanitarian dimensions of laws, as well as its serious implications for regional and global peace and security. At the same time, we also hear arguments on the usability of such weapons. A focus on brighter aspects of the AI-enabled weapon systems in the absence of a normative framework deserves a call for caution. By moving ahead with the development, deployment, and use of AI-based weapon systems without ensuring predictability, reliability, explainability, and traceability, and an appropriate legal framework, we run the risk of contributing to instability and unintended escalation. Establishing a taboo need not wait for a tragedy. While it may eliminate the danger of human casualties for the user states, it results in the increased propensity of use and enhanced prospects of symmetric and asymmetric responses, thus lowering the threshold for application of force and armed conflict. In times of crisis, this would be highly destabilizing. In addition, the conversation on the integration of artificial intelligence with other domains for warfighting purposes is long overdue. However, progress in the CCW framework remains modest at best and too narrow in scope to our comfort. We believe that the time has come for the CD to address the grave challenges to the international security resulting from development, possession, and potential use of laws in a comprehensive manner. Madam President, cyberspace has also emerged as one of the key domains of modern warfare. The ability to act anonymously without traditional geographical limitations at a very low risk to human life, coupled with the ability to mass produce cyber weapons cheaply, makes this option extremely attractive and yet more dangerous. Several states are developing ICTs as instruments of warfare. A multilateral response, including international cooperation and assistance, is therefore essential to reduce risks and secure the cyberspace. Madam President, we also see value in addressing the threat of chemical and biological terrorism through further normative development that plugs the gaps in the existing international legal regime. It is well known